Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight, and open up to Galatians chapter number 5 in the Word of God this evening. Galatians chapter number 5 in the Word of God this evening. And for those of you who are visiting with us tonight, once again, we do welcome you to the services here at Cross Point Baptist Church. And for those of you who are tuning in via live stream, we're so thankful that you are able to each and every week tune in to the Word of God and trust that you will be faithful and take the Word of God this evening and open up to Galatians chapter number 5. We'll go through a series now entitled The Fruit of the Spirit. And tonight will be our very last night in this passage of Scripture. And next week we'll be taking the Lord's Supper. And it's going to be a very dear time. Trust that you'll be in prayer and be preparing our hearts as we come in that evening. But tonight will be our last night here in Galatians chapter number 5. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Galatians chapter and number 5. And let's look at verse number 16 this evening. But in verse number 21 and 22 for some time, we're going to once again back up. We're going to look at verse number 16 that we were in at the very beginning of this whole series. Galatians chapter 5. Once again, would you look with me at verse number 16 and watch what the Bible says. It says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." This evening, I'd like to preach a message to close out this entire series entitled, It's Go Time. It's Go Time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Father, thank you, Savior, so much for once again meeting with us. Father, I'm asking, Lord, tonight that you be right here in this auditorium. Father, I am so thankful, Lord, for the baptisms this morning, for just the incredible energy that's in this place. Father, even for the family that is just saying, Lord, thank you for Brother Josh, Miss Gloria, bringing their kids up to love these songs, the hymns of the faith. And Lord, I just ask once again, Savior, that this service would be all about you. Father, as we close out this series tonight, I ask, Savior, that you would allow me to rightly divide the word of truth. And Father, this evening, that we, as we come to this passage of Scripture, that we really would comprehend that there is great joy in allowing the Holy Spirit to work and to dwell and to lead our lives. Father, for all of the young kids that are in this room and the teenagers that sit tonight, whether with their friends or with family, mom and dad, maybe just dad, maybe just mom, maybe grandparents, that, Father, every kid and every teenager in here this evening would understand that this message is very much for them and applicable in their life as well as every adult that sits in here tonight. Savior, thank you for what you've done for us at Calvary. Thank you that you conquered death and that you live and reign in our hearts. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When I was young, growing up in the Shepherd household, there was something that I picked up from my father. And I picked this thing up from my dad because dad often used this phrase. My dad grew up in the north in New Jersey. Mom grew up in the south of North Carolina. They met in Jacksonville, Florida, were married. And then much of our upbringing was in Alabama and North Carolina, although I was born in Tennessee. But in North Carolina, I remember growing up with my seven sisters, and my dad often used this phrase, just three words, it's go time. Dad loves Alabama football, and so many times when that first kickoff would take place and everybody charged down the field, my dad would often say, it's go time. My dad was a NASCAR, used to watch NASCAR, loved the Daytona 500, open everything up, but we lived probably about 3, 4, 5 miles from the Charlotte Motor Speedway there in Concord, North Carolina. We could hear the cars running from our house, and every time that flag would raise or go down, and boy, all the cars would take off. You hear those words, gentlemen, start your engines. And all the engines would rev. I remember my dad as a little boy saying, well, it's go time. Carolina Tar Heel basketball, man, we used to grow up, watch every game. It's go time. Here we go. Tip off. Let's do this. Vacation. Oh, yeah. Vacation would come around. My dad oftentimes would say that. We'd all get in the van. Dad would start the van up. We had a big old conversion van. I mean, we were like catching up with the Duggars back in the day. And we'd jump in. We'd jump in that big old conversion van. Dad started up. Vacation time. Here we go. And he'd pray for our trip. And then, all right, put in drive. It's go time. Here we go. We're going out to eat. It didn't matter. Dad was always excited about spending time with the family or something that was going to take place. It's go time. And oftentimes, Carrie, in our life, I'll say the same thing. Yeah, it's go time. Here we go. It's go time. But I wonder, as we come to the conclusion of this entire series that we've been learning on the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit that God lives out through you and I wonder oftentimes if the Holy Spirit would like for us to have this same type of attitude. Can you imagine if you and I on a Sunday morning getting ready for church would just have that attitude? It's Sunday, it's time to worship, it's go time. I wonder if you and I would have the Spirit getting in our cars and heading to church. All right, here we go. It's go time. Even for those of you who are raising young kids, it's not always the best mornings for us who are bringing young kids to church. And they say teenagers, it gets a little bit worse, but I'm ignoring that whole scene. I just feel like, man, it's not always easy to get little kids in the car and everybody have a good attitude and everybody have on socks that match, and especially raising four girls. I cannot do hair. It's all on my wife. And so I get the kids in the car, but I wonder, Carrie, sometimes if you and I just got in and our attitude was just completely, you know what? Here we are. It's the Lord's day. Is go time. Can you imagine Pastor Chris standing up and you're about to lead the music and all of our hearts were, hey, you know what? It's go time. Let's sing these hymns. Let's worship our God. Let's sing His praises. What if the pastor got up and it wasn't, well, the announcements, Pastor Nan, went a little bit long tonight. I don't know, Pastor Chris, four verses of that. We probably could have left a verse out and, you know, we got to get out of here by 7 o'clock. And, you know, for some, Lord was talking about the other day, the sun starts shining through and I was kind of tuning in today to kind of watch. And it does. The sun will peek in through here. And if you're one of the unlucky ones in this auditorium where it squeezes through one of those cracks, it hits you right in the face. And you know what God's trying to tell you? It's go time. Understand, all of us, if we would have that attitude, okay, you know what? It is time to let the Holy Spirit take over. If you and I would begin to live that type of life, not going through this whole series like, okay, you know, our list, our little chore, okay, we got to get it down, got to live a meek life, got to live a gentle life, got to have a peaceful life, got to live a joyful life. But no, as we've come through this entire series, what we've said the whole time is this: it's not for us to make a checklist. It's not for us to have our little standard or our little preference or our little religious duty. No, what you and I are now beginning to comprehend, excuse me for my voice, what we're now beginning to comprehend is this: that when the Holy Spirit gets in our life, when we draw close to our Abba Father, it's not something that we have to check off or, whoo, we got to work on this. No, what begins to happen is it becomes very natural in our lives. It becomes very natural to live this life. Verse number 21 and 22, it becomes, well, almost every day living the normal Christian life. And so therefore, as we come to the end of this series, it's time for you and I to make a decision. Now it's time for you and I to say, you know what? It's go time. It's time to go all in. It's time to dig in. It's time to allow, now what, every kid and every teenager to watch up, because several times this evening I'm going to address you. So if you're of the age of like 3 to 20, I want you to tune in for just a moment. You've got to comprehend, kids. You've got to comprehend, teenager, that you don't have to wait until you're 21 to allow the Holy Spirit to take over your life. You can make that decision and that choice this evening to be able to say, you know what, God, I'm going to allow you to fill my life. I'm going to allow you to take control. I'm going to hand over the reins to you. I'm going to allow you to choose what I am going to do with the rest of my life. It's not going to be me and my and what I want and my desires, my dreams, what I say go. No, I believe, young people, tonight that if you and I would just give our lives to Him, then the Holy Spirit begins to take over. And when the Holy Spirit begins to take over, friend, it's go time. It's time to do something great for Him. And again, it's not unnatural. It's not something that we have to work on. No, it's just something that is going to take place. Verse number 16 says this, "Thus I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." When you and I allow the Holy Spirit to have full control, there are several things that you and I are going to be able to complete, accomplish, and or dwell in. The first subject this evening is this. First of all, when the Holy Spirit takes control, it's go time in, number one, if you're taking notes, rejoicing. Number one, in rejoicing. Webster's Dictionary defines rejoicing as an instant, occasion, or expression of joy. Here is our English language. Here's what rejoicing is. An instance or an occasion or expression of joy. You see, when you and I choose to walk in the Spirit, you and I must take time to express the joy in that decision. And where did that decision come from? Where did that decision start? You say, well, I guess it started when we made that choice on March 21st of 2021 that we were going to walk in the Spirit. No, understand, no, it didn't start there. It started when you and I gave our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved this evening, say amen. And I say that often. Why? Because I don't ever want us to get just used to being saved. No, I want us to comprehend that we are saved and that this message is for us. Now watch and comprehend. When you and I got saved, the Holy Spirit then came and dwells inside of you and I. Can the Holy Spirit be quenched? Without a doubt. Can the Holy Spirit, when you and I do something wrong, can the Holy Spirit be quenched? Yes. There is a communication problem. There is a quenching of the Holy Spirit. But can you and I ever lose the Holy Spirit? As in to say, can you and I ever lose our salvation? The answer to that, biblically speaking, is absolutely not, zero, no way. Once you are saved, the Bible says that you are always saved. If you're thankful for that, say amen. You cannot lose your salvation. You and I are adopted into the family of God. And once you're in the family of God, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That means this. There is not an angel in heaven that wrote down your name, Thomas Shepherd, saved on this date and this date. And well, then I sinned. Up, Thomas Shepherd sinned. Take his name out. Oh, big eraser. Oh, never mind. He's back saved. Put his name in. Oh, get up. Can you imagine that poor angel? Hey, race car. Right down. No, understand. When our name was written down, friend, it was written in a pen that cannot be erased because you and I were bought with his blood and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's a promise that God will not break. Amen. You know, we can rejoice in tonight. Our salvation. You know, family, sometimes we have to get in the mode of realizing it, rejoicing in our salvation. Imagine taking your last breath on earth. It's done. Everything that we lived for, everything that we sought to accomplish, all the money that we saved up, everything that we experienced on this earth in one last final breath, whew, and it's done. You slip into eternity. You're saved. You know Him. You take that last breath and your eyes gaze over the crystal sea, and the sparkling water reflects throughout heaven's vastness. You look down at your feet and you see pure gold, a reflection of the purest and most glorious shine that you have ever seen. A light is shining beautifully bright out across the seems like ever vastness of this place called heaven. You turn and you start walking towards it. And you know who it is that's waiting for you. With every step, you draw closer and closer towards Him. And it seems like this momentous, incredible, awesome opportunity. There you are standing in awe of Jesus. The one who suffered terribly, giving you and I the liberty to experience the magnificence of heaven. You look there, not looking at Him in the face, almost fearful as He gazes at your eyes. You fall immediately down at the ground. Your head bows instantaneously. In the utmost reverence, you begin to worship Him. Maybe you begin to weep. Maybe you begin to cry. Maybe your moments of earth begin to fade away as you and I begin to comprehend right then and there the very gift of our salvation. At that moment, you see a hand that reaches down. That hand has the nail-scarred hands. You look at it. It's all so real now. You take His hand and He lifts you up. And just then, you gaze up, gaze up, gaze up. And you catch the most precious, kind eyes that you have ever seen in your entire life on this earth. As you look at those eyes, you see what real love is. As you look at those eyes, you see real what real grace is. You begin to experience true and real peace. I don't know if this will take place. I don't know exactly how it will work. But I imagine at some moment we get to hug and put our arms around the Savior that died for you and for me. The rejoicing that must come to our heart at that moment. The most magnificent joy that begins to, just at that time, spring up in our lives. That moment we realize this is eternity. This is the rest of our life. After 100 billion years, eternity at that moment has only just begun. When you and I allow the Holy Spirit to take over our lives, it's not that we have to wait for that glorious moment, but no, you and I can share that glory here on this earth. You and I can experience that joy right here. You and I can have that true peace. It's why the psalmist wrote, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Friend, this evening, when you and I allow the Holy Spirit to take over our lives, it's go time. How? It's in rejoicing. Rejoicing in the fact that you and I don't have to live up to anybody else's standard. We don't have to live up to anybody else's preference. We don't have to try to impress anybody in this world. No, friend, you and I have the King of Kings, our Redeemer, and He lives inside of you and me. It's rejoicing. See, I think oftentimes we get in this motion that we've talked of throughout this whole entire message. Thank you so much, brother. And throughout this whole entire this series is that we get into this motion of I have to. You know what have to's do? They get us down. If you and I only concentrate in raising kids in do, you need to do this, clean your room, do this. If we only concentrate on just training a kid in do and never concentrate on what they get to enjoy in having a mom and dad that love them, friend, I'm just here to tell you, when they turn 18, they will be completely religious and they've missed the relationship that they can't have with God. See, in rejoicing, It's you and I rejoicing in the fact that it's not a relationship that's just, oh, do it, be in church, three to thrive, hurry up, sing the song, be there, practice, do this, revival, be revival, everybody mark down, who's not here, revival, look, if you want to be a revival, then be at revival, but friend, don't make this a religious duty. Don't make this, well, I guess I have to because pastor said I have to. And well, if I don't, I know Steve Fulford's going to be giving me a call or Brother George is going to be giving me a call. I know Mike Cramp, he's gonna be on the phone. Now, where were you? I know you're home. No. And look, if you want to be here, then let's be here and rejoice in God. Amen? Now, look, kids, I want everybody, all kids, look up. Now, watch. You don't need to take notes right now. I'll take notes here in just a minute. Now, watch. Teenagers, look for just a moment. Did you know that if you're saved, you can do the same thing? You can rejoice in God. This morning, little Heather and Miss Allie were up here, they were up here, and I was about to baptize them. And I said to Allie, Allie, are you nervous? And she said, yeah, I am. I said, yeah, me too. So we're both nervous up there together. And then I said, Heather, are you nervous? And Heather, true story, did she not believe it? She said, no, I'm not nervous. I said, okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to baptize you. I'm going to push you down. I'll hold you for 10 seconds, and then I'm going to bring you up. Man, her eyes were like, woo, you know. I was like, yeah, nervous now. Take that. No, I'm just kidding. Understand. But what I love about this, watch here, is that you had two young people. It started with Genevieve. Genevieve was the first one I baptized, and man, it's just, I praise the Lord. Then Ben, and all the way through, now we have all these young kids that are coming and getting baptized. Now watch this. Young people, listen. You can rejoice right now in the God of your salvation. It's not for your parents. Now teenagers, look. Now I want all the guys to look up here for just a minute. Now, gentlemen, it doesn't matter. If you want to step out and come down to the altar, who cares what everybody else or all your other friends are thinking? Just do it. Just step out. Do you understand, teenager? Do you understand? Look, DJ, look, Austin, I just want to tell you. Look, Cole, right here. Watch. Do you understand that you could be the very one that sparks revival in the youth group by stepping out and coming forward and rejoicing in God? You imagine? Look, shepherd kids, Lois, listen, Tommy, for all those, Heather, I'm not sure, is Heather in here tonight? Is she's not in here? Backsliding already, my goodness. Get on to that girl. So Is Allie in here? Where, Allie, raise your hand. So Allie, understand this. Do you know that, and I told, it was either Allie or Heather this, that there were already those this morning that said this, hey, pastor, I want to be baptized. Amen. You know what they saw? Allie, they saw you being an example. You were putting on God's uniform. Look, baptism has nothing to do with our salvation. Zero, nilch. If God would have come back yesterday, do you know that Allie would have been in heaven with us and so would have Heather? It's an outward showing. You know what it's saying? Hey, I believe in the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm telling the world, I'm on Jesus's team. Amen? But do you see, young person, do you see, teenager, that you don't have to sit here and say, well, it's go time. Yeah, okay. Hurry up, pastor. It's 6:40. I want to play some basketball in the gym. No. Do you know that you can rejoice as well? Hey, teenagers, look. As we're praying for revival, it does not have to be, you know what, it's all, pastor, it's all your generation. You get up there. This is all your generation. No. Teenagers, it's not. This generation is pulling for your generation. We're praying, Genevieve, that you and the rest of your sisters and your whole family, we're praying that the Holy Spirit gets so inside your life that you don't care about what everybody else is doing. You're going to do what is right. Remember the old patch song, do right till the stars fall? You know what? Even if the stars fall, just keep doing what's right. You see, I'm afraid oftentimes, listen, teenager, that we're so get in the mode of, well, it's not Wednesday night, And Pastor Blake's not preaching, or Miss Charlotte's not, Miss Charlotte doesn't preach, but Miss Charlotte's not, a girl could probably preach, you know what I mean? But Miss Charlotte's not encouraging us. And so, you know what? Really, this just isn't for me. Can I just tell you, every time we meet in this auditorium together, you and I are the church. We are the bride, friend. If you're saved, teenager, this is for you tonight. It's rejoicing. It's go time in letting God work and lead our lives. But number two, in refreshing. Number two, in refreshing. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 13. Repent ye therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now watch this very carefully. In Strong's Concordance, the word for refreshing means recovery of breath. Think back for just a time, a moment, even this last week, where life was demanding and chaotic, and man, it was hectic, and it was strenuous, and it was busy, and you just felt like you couldn't do anything you needed to do, and not even to kind of catch your breath. Understand this, what Acts 3:19 says is that our refreshing will come from the Lord. You and I cannot be revitalized by the methods of this world, but we can be rejuvenated by the Lord and His Spirit. Do you comprehend this? All of us, how many tonight, just think about it, you don't have to say amen. Let me think about this, just think about it. Don't you love vacation? Don't you lose, oh man, vacation. Isn't it great? For everybody in Indiana, I think we all dream of like palm trees, sand, blue sky, 80 degrees, just no wind. Just let's just sit there and sweat it out. Oh, it just feels, I mean, vacation. Or some might think of Disney World, or maybe a lake, or maybe up in a mountain somewhere. In other case, all of us like vacation. Why? Because we get to get away for a little bit. But have you ever been on a vacation where it almost doesn't feel like a vacation? Because leading up to the vacation, you got to do double the work to make sure everything's done. And you gotta get, we gotta hurry, let's get straight. Okay, we gotta make sure all the bills are paid, make sure all the dogs got food and water, make sure that all the kids' schoolwork's done, then we gotta double up on the schoolwork, and then we gotta, and then we get away for a week, and then, oh, here comes Thursday, and oh, here comes Saturday, oh no, we're back, and it's just the avalanche of all the problems and everything that took place at our job and our work and our manager and the emails, pling, 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 pling. They're coming in. It's just this avalanche. Understand this. When we look for rejuvenation from the world, a refreshing, we may get it for a time, but it's not going to last. But you and I, when we have the Holy Spirit, you and I will feel that rejuvenating, that refreshment that we need. And we can be refreshed by the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says this in John chapter 14. It says, I will pray to the Father that He shall give you another, watch the wording, Comforter. I love that word, comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I love the old hymn that says this, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. When you and I rely on the Holy Spirit, when we allow Him to take over our life, understand this, it is refreshing. Why? Because while the world may try to comfort us, or the world may try to rejuvenate us, it will last for a little while, but there is nothing like the Holy Spirit. Then there's nothing like the Word of God. You ever been with somebody before that's lost somebody, and it was, maybe it was a wife, maybe it was a mother, maybe it was a husband, maybe it was a grandfather, and they're really hurt. At times for us as humans, it's hard to find the exact words to say to somebody like that. It just really is. Well, it's going to be all right. Well, it's going to be okay. We'll see him again. You know, it's hard. The person's going through a very dark time in their life. Do you know the most comforting words in the world are the very Word of God? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. We know that all things work together for good. I mean, it's just so many verses that at that moment come to life for you and I is comforting. You know, it's go time and refreshing because we have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, once again, all our kids and all of our teenagers, look up here for just a moment. And I think our screen's on the side, is it not, Pastor Chris? We do have a couple kids over here, so let me address the kids over here as well, sitting right behind Miss Tina and over here. That all the kids in here for just a moment. Now, watch. Twins, look up here for just a minute. Now, look. Now, teenagers, you do not have to wait until you are just going into college to allow the Holy Spirit to guide your life. Now, listen, nobody likes doing this, but we're just going to do it anyways. All of our juniors and all of our seniors in high school, would you stand up for just a minute? All of our juniors, all say, hurry, hurry, you know who you are. Looking around, make sure who's going to be the first one. Oh, Maddie stood up. Okay, I'll stand up. Okay, look, everybody stand up. Okay, just one here in the overflow and then the rest of them are here. Junior and senior, that's 11th and 12th grade. I'm not talking about just at Cross Point. That means public school, Christian school, homeschool. If you're a junior or senior, 11th or 12th grade, why don't you stand up for just a moment? Now listen, do you understand that the Holy Spirit needs to be your number one guide, Aaron Taylor, in your life? Number one. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety, yes, without a doubt. And there ought to be great influence from your parents. Seek their advice. From a youth pastor and his wife, yes, without a doubt. But let me just say this. Your youth pastor and his wife are not going to be with you forever, and neither will your parents. You have to decide now to allow the Holy Spirit to guide your life. I didn't say, listen very carefully now, I didn't say to allow culture to guide your life, because culture will guide your life. Every junior and senior, listen very carefully, do you know how much this world and this culture is after every single one of you? They want you. To be honest with you, Pastor Defoe, they want our young kids more than they do us. They know our time's going to come to an end. You know who they want? They want every one of these kids, do they not? Do you realize, teenager, that's why we're praying for you? That's why we tell you often, we love you. Austin, let me just put it this way. You can choose to be used of God in a great way. And I'm just going to put it like this. He will use you. He will use you. It's Mariah, correct? Mariah? Mariah, you can choose to be used of God in a great way. And Mariah, let me just put it this way. If you let the Holy Spirit guide your life, He will use you in a great way. You can turn this world upside down for Him. But it's got to be you. You got to choose it. You've got to want it, Ms. Sharp. You've got to desire it. You have to say, Lord, guide me. Lord, direct me. Ms. Harvey, you have to decide. It's going to be me. When everybody else says, no, here's what we're going to do, here's what culture's doing, come on, it's this, it's that. And when mom and dad aren't there, it's you that has to say, you know what, it's the Holy Spirit guiding me in a different direction. So while all these friends go this direction, you just follow God. Any parents agree with this tonight? Amen. Let me tell you something, Aaron. Great talent on the basketball court. But you know, there's more to life than basketball. You have incredible talents. You can dunk. I wish I could dunk. I can't dunk. Maybe at the tennis ball 10 years ago. But I mean, let me put it this way, Aaron. The talent that you have, you let God get inside of you, you could turn an entire city upside down for Him. Do you know how many in this room, including your parents, believe that? We believe that. It was just, it's Maddie. Floyd, God can use you. He loves you. And He wants to. He desires to. I think, now listen, junior and seniors, I think oftentimes we leave a message like this to the adults. And there's no doubt, Pastor Dan, that we need God's guidance in our life each and every day. Pastor Fo, don't we? We want his guidance. Yes. But Austin, it's not just for Pastor Shepherd. It's for you. What would happen, seniors? What would happen? I think so. There might be some juniors in here as well. Oh, we have one junior. Is that right? Just one, I think. Anybody else a junior in here? Anybody else? Junior? I know I made you sit down. I'm so sorry. Were you getting scared there? I was coming for you. Okay, it's okay. Just stay seated. Stay seated. I'm just kidding. Understand this. For any juniors or seniors, what if you allowed us as a church to pray that the Holy Spirit would totally take over your life? Would you allow us to do that? But it can't be just us praying for you. You have to say, God, fill me. Understand, teenager, it is the most refreshing, the most refreshing time in your life when God takes over. It's incredible. Well, Pastor Shepherd, look, you can't take my word for it. It's like somebody taking a drink of water and they say this. Now listen, don't sit down yet, okay? Now look, watch. If somebody takes a drink of water, it's like, oh, that is the best water I've ever had. It's the best water in the world. You will not get any better water than that. And you can listen to me and you can say, well, okay, cool. Or you can taste it yourself. Our parents could sit here and we can beg and plead and your youth pastor and every teacher that's in here, every coach that is in here, they love you and they're pulling for you and they're rooting for you. Let me just tell you, at some point, you're going to have to taste the Holy Spirit for yourself and make a decision. All the other, thank you so much, juniors, seniors, all the other sophomores and freshmen, you may be seated, all the other eighth graders, sixth graders, fifth graders, can I just tell you, these are your leaders in here, but you have to make a choice. You see, there is a time of rejoicing in refreshing. I do want to say this, we're almost done, but I'll shut your Bibles tonight. When it's go time, it's also go time in reviving. You see, many Christians have a theology. Now watch college. Listen, all college students, high school students, they have a theology or belief about God, but are often not experiencing Him personally. It's a reviving of the Holy Spirit that must take place. You see, a personal revival begins with you and I in choosing to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. You see, I really believe we can pray for revival. And we can have an evangelist come in. And the music can be just right. We let out right on time and never meet with God. Because we have so allowed the world to fill us up that we don't have a tenth left to give back to God. We are so full of sports. We are so full of CNN and Fox News and CBS and ABC. We are so full of Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and homework. We're so full of family and vacation that there's not really a whole lot left that the Holy Spirit has to work with to even revive. If revival's going to take place, it's going to take you and I emptying ourselves, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us. It's going to take parents, grandparents, some of us to be the leaders to step out. To say, God, at this altar tonight, I'm emptying myself. I'm giving everything to you. Every senior that I just spoke to around this auditorium, what if tonight, no pressure, has to be your decision. But what if sixth grader, seventh grader, eighth grader, ninth, 10th, 11th, 12th? What about college student that's right here local this evening? What if you stepped out tonight and came down and knelt and said, Lord, I'm emptying myself. I don't care what any other friend says. I don't care what smirk I get. I don't care if anyone else on my row moves. God, I'm emptying myself tonight and asking the Holy Spirit to take full control. What would happen? I'll tell you what would happen. The Holy Spirit would take full control. And Cross Point, get ready, because it's go time.